Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2548, with a release date of Friday, August 28th, 2026, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A special event recalls the terror attacks of 9/11. Interference plagues some South African repeaters, and a special request from amateurs in Bangladesh. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2548 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
A quarter century has passed since the deadly terror attacks from the sky that destroyed the Twin Towers in New York City, damaged the Pentagon building in Washington, D.C., and led to a disastrous plane crash in a rural Pennsylvania field. As the nation and the world remembers September 11th, 2001, so, too, do amateur radio operators in a special event. Randy Sly, W4XJ, gives us the details.
The heroes will be celebrated while the victims will be mourned and remembered as members of the Alabama Contest Group return with special event station K4A and the message 9/11, We Do Remember. The group has organized this year's event, as it has every year, since those are memories meant to be shared as a community. From the 9th through the 13th of September, volunteer operators will be calling CQ and will be listening for stories and memories of that day, the heroism and the heartbreak. There will be a commemorative QSL card and a full-color certificate at the end of the event. The Smoke Signals newsletter will also be publishing many of the stories that operators hear during their contacts as K4A operators. Operators will be on all bands using single sideband, CW, RTTY, and FT8. If this date has a special meaning for you, consider joining the team of activators. You can send an email to Bob, WA1FCN, at WA1FCN@charter.net. For other details, visit the K4A page on QRZ.com. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
An FCC-approved test of direct-to-device satellite cell service is set to end in early September, as we hear from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The Federal Communications Commission has given a Texas satellite communications company until the 12th of September to complete its trial use of the 800 MHz spectrum for direct-to-device cellular broadband service. AST Space Mobile has been operating under a 30-day permit for delivery to mobile phones in Lana, Maryland, and near its own Midland, Texas headquarters. The direct-to-device trial is being run with consumers' everyday phones. The regulator granted approval in April for AST to use frequencies between 817 and 824 MHz for the uplink and between 862 and 869 MHz for the downlink. AST Space Mobile has strategic partnerships with cellular providers Verizon and AT&T. The Texas startup company is a rival of SpaceX, which operates the Starlink satellite constellation, which is also involved in direct-to-device operations. AST Space Mobile stirred controversy earlier this year after the FCC granted it limited use of part of the secondary amateur band between 430 and 440 MHz for emergency telemetry, tracking, and control of its satellites. The FCC has said in the past that interference with ham radio was unlikely. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The coming school year is going to be a lot more interesting for students in the Advanced Technologies Group, a student ham radio club at one high school in Pennsylvania. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us more.
This school project isn't one for the books. It's one for the radios. As students prepare for the start of the academic year, plans are moving forward to expand the amateur radio program at Harbor Creek High School near the city of Erie. The Student Ham Radio Club, KC3SGV, has received a grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications to outfit a new radio center that will be the gathering spot for the after-school club. During the day, the center will serve as a laboratory for wireless technology classes where students can experiment with digital modes, test antennas, and engage in ham radio contests. The station is designed to operate on-site as well as remotely. This is only the latest project for this active ham radio group. In December of 2023, the students had a direct QSO with astronaut Andre Mogensen, KG5GCZ, aboard the International Space Station using antennas and radio systems that they developed, built, and installed themselves. Club members and leaders are hoping to spread the excitement about the Radio Lab by documenting everything they do while establishing this new resource so other schools in the area can see how to set up or expand their own amateur radio programs. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Authorities believe they have made progress in shutting down interference plaguing a repeater network in South Africa, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
An investigation by South Africa's communications regulator has identified a business that authorities believe disrupted a number of amateur radio repeaters throughout the province of Gauteng. According to media reports, the illegal interference on the band between 430 MHz and 440 MHz was determined to have come from commercial radio equipment. The nation's regulator, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, said it's traced the interference to a business in the city of Germiston in the East Rand region of Gauteng. News reports said that the regulator received help from volunteers of the South African Radio League's Hamnet Gauteng division. According to various reports, the Hamnet operators began tracking the transmissions in response to reports from amateurs trying to use the repeaters in the East Rand. The regulator has not released the name of the company publicly due to legal proceedings underway. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In a scene familiar to many hams in the U.S. and elsewhere, a local council in Scotland has rejected a homeowner's application to install a mast for his ham radio station, as we hear from Dave Lee, M9TLB.
Calling it unacceptable and overbearing, local councillors have denied a Kirkcaldy homeowner's proposal for a ham radio mast standing 11 metres or 36 feet tall. Christoph Swachinski, MM0IMU, had applied for authorisation several months ago, telling the council that he would only raise the mast to its full height when he needed to use it. He said in a statement, quote, "Amateur radio is a nationally and internationally recognised technical hobby which promotes engineering skills, experimentation and international communication, and can provide valuable emergency communications when required," end quote. Councillors rejected the mast as unsuitable for a residential area, saying its impact on neighbouring homes and rear gardens would be overbearing and beyond the character of the area. The ham defended his application, saying it supports lawful ham radio activity. The website, Fife Today, quoted him as saying, "These roles are acknowledged in the Scottish Government's National Planning Guidance, which supports reasonable development by licensed radio amateurs," end quote. This is Dave Lee, M9TLB.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the ZS0MOT repeater in Middleburg, South Africa, on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. local time. As Bangladesh prepares for its second satellite, hams there are hoping it will carry an amateur radio transponder. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us how you can help.
The Amateur Radio Society of Bangladesh hopes to add the voices of satellite enthusiasts around the globe to their own call for an amateur radio transponder aboard the nation's second satellite. While the Bangladesh Satellite 2 is still in the planning stages, the Radio Society has applied to the Bangladesh Satellite Company Limited for the dedicated amateur radio payload. A petition is currently being circulated asking for others to stress the importance of it getting approved. The transponder could be used for ham radio communication, emergency and disaster communication, and technical education and experimentation. The satellite is intended to be an Earth observation satellite, and it would be the nation's second satellite to be launched. The Radio Society believes that a petition adding the voices of the international ham radio community would underscore the need for the transponder. To see the petition, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Registration has opened for the Zero Retries Digital Conference in San Ramon, California, where technology enthusiasts, experimenters, engineers, and ham radio operators will explore emerging technologies and digital communications. The conference will be held on Friday, the 16th of October, at the Roundhouse Conference Center. This is its second year. For programming details or to register, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Ham radio will have a strong presence at a Maryland hackathon for teenagers that is being hosted at a regional library. CellMB KB3TZD has those details.
The 6th annual hackathon for teenagers, hosted by the 780th Military Intelligence Brigade in Maryland, will focus on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, with amateur radio in the mix. The event at the Odenton Regional Library on the 29th of September is a project of the civilians and soldiers at Fort Meade, who will showcase Python programming challenges, cybersecurity issues, reverse engineering, and logic games. Members of the Maryland Mobileers Amateur Radio Club will be joining the event to demonstrate different methods of wireless communication to the teens. The Ham Club's commitment to nurturing youthful interest in ham radio is evident on its website, which explains how the Maryland Mobileers Youth Amateur Radio Club shares the radio experience with children and teens, including through Parks on the Air activations. This is CellMB, KB3TZD.
Programming has become an increasingly important part of amateur radio, and the Radio Society of Great Britain is bringing back an event known as National Coding Week. The goal is to help hams gain knowledge and confidence. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what's involved.
The days between the 14th and 20th of September are being set aside as National Coding Week. The outreach team of the Radio Society of Great Britain is devoting the week to providing hams with activities to sharpen their digital skills and familiarise them with the kind of programming needed in amateur radio. The emphasis is on problem solving, something basic to amateur radio. Worksheets are available on the RSGB website that can help hams get started. There are two challenges involving microbits, including one that can be used to send CW wirelessly or via a telegraph wire. Another small project makes use of the language of the Arduino with the Raspberry Pi Pico. Follow the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast for more details. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, listen for Graham, MM8IJU, and Eric, GM5RDX, using their call signs J38LD and J38DX, respectively, from Grenada, IOTA number NA024, from the 1st through to the 12th of September. They will be using SSB and FT8 FT4 on 80 through 6 meters. Listen for the special call sign TF80IRA, which is on the air through the 31st of December, marking the upcoming 80th anniversary since the founding of Icelandic Radio Amateurs, the nation's IARU member society. The actual date of the founding was the 14th of August, 1947. Another anniversary is being celebrated in Poland. A number of special event call signs will be used to call CQ to mark the 100th anniversary of the Polish State Railways, from the 1st through to the 30th of September. The call signs include 3Z100PKP, HF100PKP, and several others in different prefixes, all ending in 100PKP. Hans Peter, HB9BFM, is using the call sign V5/HB9BFM from a number of different locations in Namibia, where he will be on the air until the 20th of September. Miguel LX1MDA is operating holiday style as CT9/LX1MDA from the Madeira Islands, IOTA number AF014, until the 6th of September. Listen for him on 40 through 10 meters, where he will be operating single sideband and FT8. For QSL information and other details, please see each station's page on QRZ.com. Our final story celebrates Newsline's Young Ham of the Year for 2026, and Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, was in Huntsville, Alabama to congratulate him. Don?
The third weekend in August is the culmination of a lot of what Amateur Radio Newsline does besides produce a weekly newscast. It's the Huntsville Ham Fest and our Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award presentation. Bill was a huge believer in promoting youth and amateur radio and created the award back in 1986, 40 years ago now, to promote and celebrate the amazing things youth are doing in and with the hobby. Our 2026 recipient, Karsten Glassbrenner, KQ4SJM, is a perfect reflection of that. Licensed at age 11, now 14 and a general, Karsten has over 100 satellite contacts and is an AMSAT North America ambassador, thanks in large part to his father, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT North America president. Here are Karsten's remarks.
Thank you. Ever since a young age, I've always been around radios from my dad, and I couldn't have done it without him. And I also want to thank Mark Hammond at AMH for nominating me for the award. And it's really, really great for everything.
Next up is John Kruk, N9UPC of Yaesu, USA.
Real quick, when I started with Yaesu back in 2017, Dennis Motzenbacher, K7BV, who's now Silent Key, he said one of the most important things about the Huntsville Ham Fest was the ham radio youth on there. And each year we did this award, and Yaesu USA is always proud to be part of it. This year, and each year we do it, we try to find out what would be a good donation to, or a prize, I should say, for the winner of it. And by default, your dad helped us pick this one out. We are more than happy to give him an FTM 510D mobile radio, which has the ability to work satellites. So we thought, how fitting to do that. So on behalf of Yaesu USA, congratulations, and here's your gift.
In addition to the radio, Heil Ham Radio presented Karsten a BM-17 dual-sided headset, the proper Yaesu adapter for the headset, and a foot switch. We could not do this without our friends at Yaesu USA and Heil Ham Radio. We now rest until March 2027 when the nominating period opens for next year. Until then, congratulations to Karsten. You're now part of the Newsline family, and we could not be more proud. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
With thanks to the Alabama Contest Group, Amateur Radio Daily, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, AMSAT News, the AMSAT UK, Caxton Network News, David Behar, K7DB, 425DX Bulletin, the FCC, Fife Today, LightReading.com, Maryland Mobileers Amateur Radio Club, Military Intelligence Brigade, QRZ.com, the Wireless Institute of Australia, Zero Retries Newsletter, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for the continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, Katie to GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights reserved.